Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. For our young people, you've got homework. All right, Ephesians chapter 4. Last week, our message was entitled, Don't Be a Disjointed Christian. And tonight's message is entitled, Walking the Walk. If you look with me in your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So here, Paul, remember, started this chapter by saying what? He says, walk in a manner that is what? Verse 1, chapter 4. Walk in a manner that is worthy of the Lord. Walk in a manner that balances out with your profession. If you claim to be a Christian, you should live in a manner that is consistent with your profession. Yes? Walk in a manner that is worthy of the Lord. And here he emphasizes that. He sort of doubles down here. And he says this in verse 17. It says, this I say, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth, that means from this time forward, walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Paul says, he says this, he says, I don't want you to be like this. He says, walk not as other Gentiles walk. Walk not as those who have no faith in Christ. And you notice what he describes these Gentiles as being. He says this, he says that they are what? That they are vain. Where are you going? You can't come up here. Yeah, you got to go back there. He says, walk not as other Gentiles walk, who walk in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding what? Darkened. Having their understanding darkened. He says, these Gentiles who are lost, who know not Christ, they are described as being darkened. They are alienated. They are ignorant, the Bible says. They are hard-hearted. They are callous. They are given over to sensuality. And they are eager for impurity. This is how Paul describes these guys. He says they're darkened. Their understanding is darkened. They pursue lasciviousness or sensuality. They have impurity and they're eager to practice all sorts of impurity. That's the culture that Paul was writing at Ephesus. Was one that was surrounded by sensuality. And you don't have to turn on the TV very far to see that our culture is obsessed with sensuality. Yes? Today is what day? Valentine's Day. And if you go anywhere, you see anything, you notice that it's a holiday that is built not on just romance, but on sensuality. And our culture has this motto that sex sells. Yes? And that's the culture in which we live. And Paul says in this same way, he says, these Gentiles walk and they are pursuit. They are eager for this sensuality. They long for it. He says to work all uncleanness, all impurity with what? With greediness. They're eager to be impure. They long for it. He says, they are blinded, they are alienated, they are darkened through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness or hardness of their heart. He says, these are what the people around you live like. When you go to work, there are people like this there. Yes? When you go to work, you ever met some very calloused and hard-hearted people? And you can't say your boss.
At school, yes.
Notice what he says. He says they are blindness, the hardness of their heart. They're hard-hearted. Who being past feeling, meaning they're callous. They're past feeling. They're insensible. You guys ever met somebody that they have no conscience? They had that shooting in Florida and these mass shootings. And you wonder how a kid can walk into his classroom and shoot his classmates. You have these things happen and all of these things occur. You have parents who throw their kids out windows or drive their cars into lakes to drown their children. They have no feeling. They're callous. They're hard-hearted. He says, this is what the lost world looks like. This is what the Gentiles around you are living like. He says, don't live like this, right? Don't live like this, because as Christians, you are not in darkness. Yes? You're in what?
Light.
Thank you. Yes. Opposite darkness is light. In Christ, you are in light. You are not in darkness. You are not alienated. Remember, flip over a couple pages and look at chapter 2. We studied this several months ago, but notice what the Bible says in chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being what? Aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and you are strangers of the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. He says, this is what you were before you came to Christ. But once you are in Christ, you are no longer an alien. You're a son or daughter. You're no longer an outsider. You're welcomed into the family. He says, but the people around you are still aliens. They know not Christ. They know not God. They are without God in this world. Those are the people you work with. Those are the people you go to school with. Those are the people that you may even live with at your house. You have family that are like this. And Paul says what? He says, don't walk like them. Don't live like someone who has no hope. Don't live like someone who knows not Christ. If you're a Christian, your life should balance with your profession. It says, these are what the Gentiles are. Don't live like this. Don't pursue the sensuality of our society. Don't be eager for impurity. Don't go after what other people who are lost go after. You are different, right? You are different. In Christ, you are a what? New creature. The old is gone. Notice what Paul says. He says, but you have not learned whom? Christ. He says, don't walk like this. Don't have this mindset because you have not learned this from Christ. You have a different nature because you are a what? Believer, right? We've looked at this. This is the practical living out of all the theology we've studied in chapters 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3. And Paul's now starting to bring it into shoe leather for us. He says, all these blessings you have in Christ, all of these things that you are in Jesus, means you're a different person than those around you. If you're a believer in Jesus, you're different than those around you because you have learned from Christ. You don't have the mindset of the world. You don't have the mindset of your coworkers. You should not be pursuing what they pursue. He says, you have not learned Christ. Paul says we are not to walk as these Gentiles. We are to walk as Christ. Notice what he says in verse 21. If so be that you have heard him and you have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is what? Corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your what? Mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So if we are to walk as Christ, we are to live in a manner as if you have, we are not to live in a manner as if you have never heard Jesus speak. If you've never answered his call to faith. If you've never been taught by his word. You are not to live in a manner as if you've never met Christ. As Christians, we are to live in a manner that mimics Jesus. Yes? That mimics him. Chapter 5, verse 1 tells us this. We're going to get to this in a couple weeks, but it says this. Be ye therefore followers. That is literally imitators of God. Be imitators of him. Be a copy of Christ. When you're at work, when you're at school, don't just do what everybody around you does. Be an imitator of God. Be a copy of Christ. He says, we are not to live in a manner as if you have never heard the voice of Christ. We've never listened to his word or embraced his truth. That is not how we are supposed to live, what Paul says here. If so be that you have heard him and you've been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, live like it. If you've heard him, if you've taught by him, if you've come to faith in Christ, live like it. Yes? Live like it. What is the basis of our ethics as Christians, our morality? What is morality? Do what? Morality. As Christians, what is the basis of morality? What is the basis of what's right and what's wrong? Sin's wrong, right? Sin's bad. Can we all agree that sin's bad? Yep, sin's bad. Do what? Sentence with it. What is the basis of what is good and bad? How do we determine that as believers? The Ten Commandments? The Bible? Look at the passage. What does it say? Does it say, as you've been taught by the Ten Commandments? By Christ. Christ is the standard by which we measure what's right and wrong. The reason it's not the Ten Commandments is because the Ten Commandments only go so far. Remember, Jesus says, if you look upon a woman to lust after her heart, you've already what? Committed adultery. You've already sinned. Whereas the law just says, if you do the act. Jesus says, it's not a matter of action, it's a matter of heart. He also says that if you hate someone in your heart, you've already murdered them. So the basis of our morality isn't the law, isn't these 10 things we are to do and not do. It is Christ. He is the basis of our morality. Because you look at Jesus and how he acted in the Gospels, you see him act with what? Compassion, mercy, grace, love, forgiveness, truthfulness, honesty. All of these aspects of Jesus. And he says, you have been taught by Christ. You should live like him. You should live like him. So if we're to live like Jesus, if we have been taught by him, if he is who we are supposed to be and be living out, that means we're going to be different than the world around us, right? If there's one thing I can tell you, the world around us is selfish. Yes? Everybody's out for themselves. If you don't believe me, drive on the road and watch how many people cut you off. They don't care about your being late. They don't want to be late, right? As Christians, the greatest aspect of Jesus that I see often throughout the scriptures is his selflessness. He gave of himself to meet the needs of others, even when it cost him his life. So he says, you've learned Jesus. You've been taught by him. If you have been this, if you've done this, notice what he says. He says, then put off the what? The old man, the old self. Put off the deeds you used to do before you met him. Now, this is an interesting illustration. It has the usage of changing clothes. You guys ever change clothes? Please tell me yes. Yes. My boys, it's the hardest sometimes to get them to change clothes. Other times, they change shirts every 3 seconds. The boys have been a little under the weather yesterday, and Caleb washes his, he's borderline germophobic. I think he's getting there because he's washing his hands every 5 minutes. He's in there washing his hands because of sick germs. And he sprays himself with the water, and so he's changing clothes every 5 minutes. There's a stack of laundry that high that was just the clothes Caleb wore yesterday. The illustration here is taking off garments. He says, take off, put off the old man. But it's not just I'm going to wear my old man coat today and I'm going to take it off when I go to church. No, it's the essence here of the Greek is to take off and leave aside. You guys ever gotten something so dirty, so stained, that you just threw it away? That's what he says here. He says, take off the old man. It's dirty. It's stained. Look at what he says. Look at what the text says. He says, take off the old man. Why? Why? It is corrupt. It's corrupt. It's dirty. It's filthy. According to what? The Bible. According to the Bible. Yes. The deceitful lusts. Sin will deceive you. Did it deceive Adam and Eve in the garden? Yeah. He says, eat this fruit and you're going to be wise. It's going to be great. Adam, eat this fruit and it's going to be awesome. And he bit it and it wrecked everything. I've told you about several of my friends. It's Valentine's Day, so I believe I can share this, it being Valentine's Day. I've had several friends have an affair. They're married, like me, and they have an affair. And that sin promises them joy, it promises them pleasure, it promises them fulfillment, something that they're not having in their relationship with their spouse. And it promises them all this world. And once they walk through that door, yeah, it may be good for a little while, but it costs them their family, costs them their job, cost them their reputation, their testimony. And for some of my friends who are pastors, it costs them their ministry. They should never step behind that pulpit again. They'll never pastor a church again. See, sin is deceptive, and it has been from the beginning. And he says here, take off those filthy garments. They're corrupt because of the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is not going to give you what it promises. As one pastor friend of mine used to say, sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and make you pay more than you're willing to pay. It's not worth it. Drugs. Drugs promise ecstasy. You exist on a plane that is surreal. And I've seen drugs in the life of that little boy. And it's robbed him of a mom and a dad. Drugs destroy families, destroy people, chews them up and spits them out. Sin is deceptive. He says, take it, put it off, cast it away, burn it. Burn it. Notice what he says next. He says, not only cast away, notice what he says, and be what? Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. When you take off the old deeds, he says, don't forget to replace it with something. Have a new mindset. You're no longer like these other Gentiles. You are different. You have Christ living inside of you. He is the basis of what is right and wrong for you as a Christian. And he says this. He says, have a new mindset. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. This is a renewal that is fresh and distinctive. And yes, when you are a believer, there will be a new way of thinking. There will be a new way of thinking. And by consequence, there will be a new way of living. If you're a believer in Jesus, there will be a new way of thinking. You will think things are wrong that you never thought were wrong before. You'll have problems with things that you never had problems with before because your mind has been changed by God. As Romans 12 says, the renewing of our mind. We are to always have a renewed mind as we take off that dirty life and we renew our mind. He says, lastly, he says this, and that you put on the what? Put on the new man. You rid yourself of the old life, but you can't run around naked. Amen? You put on the new man. Notice what Paul says. Which after whom is created in and where? What's that adjective? True holiness. Not a false holiness. Not a false righteousness. But as Christians, we are to put on our new self, which is modeled after whom? God. His righteousness. What is righteousness? It's simply right acting. Simply right acting. If you listen to my parenting style, I tell the boys all the time, just do right. Just do right. Well, Dad, don't just do right. I don't care what your brother did. I don't care what anybody else did. Right, Nate? You've heard this lecture umpteen times. Just do what? Right. Righteousness. But you're on the right track. Just do right. Just live right. What is the Christian life other than just living the life of Christ out here? Christ dwells where? in you. Yes? The Spirit dwells in you. The Christian life isn't about going over a list of commandments. It is simply allowing the life that is there out. Allowing the light that is there out. Put on Christ. Put on the new life. Do right in righteousness and true holiness. Be right. Do right. You can as a believer. It's possible. Notice what he says. He says this like he's changing clothes. How hard is it to change clothes? That's because you guys are almost teenagers and you know you got to peel clothes off teenagers. Changing clothes, is it that hard? No. It's not that hard. Paul doesn't say you have to go through this whole process. No. He says simply take off what is old, throw it away, and do right and live right. Let the life of Christ shine out from your life. Do right. In any situation in your life, at school, at work, you can do right. You can live right. The problem is we often choose not to. It's not because we don't know the truth, because we are Christians. We are not in darkness. We are not in ignorance. We are enlightened. We have His Spirit. We are in light. We are not alienated. We are sons and children of God. We have everything we need to do right. We must simply put off the old man and put on the new one. Just simply do right. Tomorrow, Friday, Saturday, you can do right. Amen? Don't live like the people around you live. Don't pursue what the lost world pursues. You are different. If you're a Christian, you are, as Peter says, a peculiar people. You're a strange person. You're a weirdo. You're different because of what God is making you to be. Don't walk like the world around you. Walk as Christ. This is what you've learned of Him. Put off the old man. Put on the new one. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Let your thinking be changed. And when your thinking's changed by His Word, your actions will be as well. Amen? Do right. Do right. When you leave here, do right. When you go home, do right. Well, you don't know. You don't know what I live with. It doesn't matter. Do right. You don't know what I have to put up with. Do I have to put up with Sister Becky. That's okay. I'm going to scrub that part of the recording. It doesn't matter what you have to. You don't know what boss I have at work. Mitch is my boss at work. You can do right. No matter what the world does around you, you can do right. You have God living inside of you. If you're a believer, you have His Spirit. Just let that light shine out through you. Next week, we'll look at some ways Paul illustrates how that is done. The transformation that occurs when a Christian lives like a Christian should. Father, Lord, we thank You for this day. Thank You for this night. May You continually challenge our hearts. May we continually live for Your glory. May You shine out from us, Lord Jesus. May we have our minds renewed each day. May, Father, You help us to continually put off the old man. For how we lay those garments down, sadly, so often they seem to cling to us. May we, in Your Spirit, cast them off and continually put on Christ, put on the new man, and live in a manner that is worthy of our Lord. In Your name, Lord Jesus, and for Your glory, we ask these things. Amen.